Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Thursday. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in rainy Los Angeles. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. How are you, Joy?
I'm great. Good morning. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. We both swam to work today, hovercrafting to work.
I'm still resisting complaining about the weather here in Los Angeles, but it is very rainy and cold.
Well, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Speaking of gifts, I got a gift last night. A former coach on a LeBron James staff called me last night. Well, I called him after he texts me. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but he's been in the last 7-8 years in LeBron's world for multiple years. And I asked him about, you know, being a coach, flying with LeBron, hotels, travel. And he said, listen, man, when you're with LeBron, you got to shut some stuff out. He goes, the media is just writing stuff. And we were at practice and we knew it wasn't true. Is you're traveling with the biggest rock star in the NBA. And there's a lot of tension. A lot of people can't handle it. Remember Chris Bosh yesterday on the show? I said, when did you know playing with LeBron was different? He goes, the first hour, the press conferences. So this coach was telling me. He said, listen, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on here. And I asked this coach about Luke Walton. And he said, you can't get rid of Luke Walton. We got 30 games left. You're going to bring in a whole new coach and a whole new staff and a whole new system? And by the way, Jeannie Buss, according to a story this morning, owner of the Lakers, agrees. Luke will finish the season. Most believe that is orders from Jeannie Buss. She can be patient. She's seen worse. It's not affecting her legacy. Sometimes, guys, we have to admit something. We've got bigger egos. And our egos are tied to us professionally. We elevate it. The bigger star you are at work, the bigger star you are, right? And this is tough for all these guys. LeBron, this is not good for LeBron's brand missing the playoffs. Clutch Sports aligned with LeBron. Today the Celtics are ripping him. Ripping Rich Paul, saying they're underhanded. They're leaking stuff. It's dirty. Magic, he looked bad on that Anthony Davis mess. And Rob Pelinka is a workaholic. He's under Magic. He looks like Rob Lowe. But regardless of who he looks like, the Pelicans wouldn't even take a phone call from him. So you got all these guys and all these egos, and Jeannie Buss is hovering above all of it saying, this is what happens when you get a superstar. We had Kobe. We had Magic. My dad had Wilt, Kareem. This is what happens. The woman in the room is saying, don't worry about the tension. She's hovering above all of it, and there's finger pointing, and there's chaos. And as the coach told me last night, that's just doing business with LeBron. If you're on the staff with LeBron, that's just doing business. That's just the reality of it. There's going to be some urgency and some tension and some and it's true. But nobody thought this year was going to be special. When I said before the year, I said, I think they're going to win 49 games. You mocked me. You rushed to Twitter. You're crazy. They're winning 38. I said, they'll win 48 games. And by the way, they were on pace to win 52 if LeBron didn't get hurt. And didn't the Lakers just land the world's biggest free agent in the offseason? Well, yes, they did. How about we give them one more offseason to see if they can land another? Because generally, that's the way it works. You don't land everybody in one fell swoop. I'm with Jeannie Buss. Maybe I'll make up seat cushions and pins and T-shirts. LeBron went to the finals with Mike Brown, David Blatt, Ty Lue. Luke Walton is not significantly better or worse than any of those. Sometimes you just have to understand. If you go on a fishing boat, and I used to work as a kid as a deckhand on a fishing boat, it's rocky and some people throw up. Yes, you throw up the first 2 or 3 days until your stomach gets used to it. And then when you bring people on to catch fish, they throw up every time.
I always get seasick.
Yes, that's the reality of getting on a boat. The waters are rocky and most people can't handle it. And as the coach told me last night, this is doing business with LeBron. Is that you'll walk around, you'll read the paper, and you're like, that didn't happen at practice. And somebody will say, that happened at practice. It's like Chris Bosh said yesterday. When did you know it was different? The first second he signed. Our world changed. Press conferences, 30 people instead of four. Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports, said yesterday he expects Luke Walton, too, to be retained for the rest of the year.
I think he is. If you look at what all has transpired over the last couple of weeks, I don't think that you can place the blame primarily on Luke Walton. There's no secret about it that, you know, the trade rumors that were going on with the Lakers and New Orleans Pelicans, how everything just became so public. You just knew that it was going to take time for that locker room to heal from that. Then you add the fact that LeBron James is out for a significant amount of time. With all those factors, I just don't think you can place the blame solely on Luke as of right now.
Of course you can't. I am officially with Jeannie Buss. Come on, guys. Come on, egos. Take a deep breath. Stop finger pointing. The woman, little left of an ego. Her network's not net worth isn't changing. Her legacy's not changing. Got 30 games. Let's get into the playoffs. Lakers, I think, will try to avoid playing Golden State in the first round. And then go after Anthony Davis and probably have to give up less than you would have a week ago. Let me shift gears to this. The New York Giants are a football club. They are reportedly out on 5'8.5" quarterback prospect Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's agent, though, he's a big shot. He does a podcast with Johnny Manziel. He came out yesterday and ripped these old guys in the NFL that don't get his client. Listen.
Kyler is not some little shrimp they're making him out to be. This kid weighs 205 yesterday.
Holy shit.
Scale.
Oh
this kid
God.
Is jacked the F up. These days and age of these old NFL dinosaurs and scouts that sit back and talk about what players can't do. Oh, he can't do that. He's not this. He's not that. Those are the losers. You want all your requirements and all of that. That's not what the NFL game is today.
Yeah, it actually is exactly what the NFL game is today. You have this, you don't have that. It's called scouting. They have a combine. They measure you. By the way, he called them dinosaurs and losers. Eric Burkhart, be careful. You host a weekly podcast with Johnny Manziel. Be careful calling other people losers. Bill Belichick is 66. His owner's 77. Andy Reid was in the AFC Championship. He's 60. Drew Brees was 40 in the NFC Championship. Bob Kraft is 77, owns the greatest dynasty in American sports. Are they losers and dinosaurs too? Drew Brees, Andy Reid, Bill Belichick. By the way, who was the best L.A. Ram in the Super Bowl? Oh, 71-year-old defensive coordinator Wade Phillips. Tom Brady has never played in a Super Bowl and been that flummoxed for all but one drive. Are they dinosaurs? Are they losers? 5'8.5", Kyler Murray. Size matters in sports. And it did in the Mesozoic era. Didn't the biggest dinosaurs, as you called those coaches, didn't the biggest dinosaurs eat the smaller dinosaurs? You do get that T-Rex was the goat, right? The T-Rex is the greatest of all time. He ate the smaller dinosaurs. You're not a dinosaur if you prefer 6'3.5", 225, big arm, and highly functioning personality. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's not a dinosaur. That's not a loser. There's never been a 5'8.5" quarterback. This guy is smaller potentially than Julian Edelman. You ever watched him play? Seems a tad small for a quarterback, no?
Well, he did play quarterback in college.
At Kent State.
To his defense.
By the way, I am a little older. Maybe I'm sensitive, but Netflix is changing television. Reed Hastings is their CEO. He's almost 60. Jeff Bezos has changed retail, putting people out of business. He's closer to 60 than he is 45. And oh, by the way, 5'8.5" is something to be concerned about. So is only playing 17 college games. And so is going on the Dan Patrick Show, and you can't answer a question unless Dad answers it for you. This actually happened.
Are you going to the combine?
I don't know.
Dad, is he going to the combine?
No comment.
Dad had no comment there. Pro day?
I mean, that's after the combine.
Yeah, are you going to do a pro day? Yeah? Yeah.
I guess. If you want to say yeah, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a loser, too. I'm a dinosaur, too. Because for my $6 billion franchise, the most verbal position, that's what I get. Yeah, I'd be a little concerned. I guess I'm a dinosaur. So is Belichick, Brady, Andy Reid, Drew Brees, Wade Phillips, Bob Kraft. They're dinosaurs, too. Says the guy, the agent, who hosts a weekly podcast with Dynamite, Johnny Manziel. All right. T-Rex. The goat. Okay.
I like velociraptors.
What's that?
Velociraptors.
What the hell's that?
Those are the ones in Jurassic Park with the little...
That's why you like the Toronto Raptors. Yeah, by the way, T-Rex ate all of those.
Velociraptors are my favorite dinosaurs.
By the way, T-Rex ate your dinosaurs at the end of the movie.
That's fair. But they're way faster and cooler, though.
That's my Valentine's present to you, that memory of T-Rex eating all the smaller dinosaurs.
I know.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Your local media always says nice things about the local teams because local media has to. Because there's a Dodge dealer or a Ford dealer in town and they'll pull their advertising. I don't have to deal with that. So Oklahoma thinks I hate them because I always bang on Westbrook. Forget the fact that I think Lincoln Riley's a stud, Bob Stoops is amazing, and I would vote Paul George MVP today. And I'm in the minority on that. Most people would vote James Harden, no shot, or Giannis, very, very close. So Oklahoma, I'm not your local paper. I'm not your local radio guy. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear, that everybody from your state's great. Although I did love Mickey Mantle and Johnny Bench, and Mark Price is the most underrated shooter in NBA history. Paul George, here Oklahoma, he should be the MVP. For the first time in a decade, yep, I don't think LeBron is even a top five MVP candidate. Not close this year. The last several years, I've laughed and scoffed at the assertion that Westbrook's and Harden's are in the same class. LeBron is part GM, part coach, part scout, best player, most dominant, best leader, very clutch. Check, 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 check. This year, Paul George is the MVP. James Harden scores a lot. Yes, he does. I've seen James Harden. I've watched this league for 40 years. Paul George is more efficient. Paul George plays defense. Paul George this year has been more clutch, and Paul George is going to win more. Let's start with the three big ones. He's a better two-way player. Forget the fact he's more efficient than Harden. Plays great defense, more clutch, and winning more this year. Okay, Harden's had some injuries, but he's winning more. He's the best two-way player in the NBA that's available. Kawhi Leonard is, but he's never available. He's missed 16 games. Number two is he's been so great this year that he's taken a very rigid personality, Russell Westbrook, and he's changed his game. Westbrook doesn't shoot as much. That's hard to do. That's what D-Wade eventually, after about a month and a half of LeBron, said, you know what? It ain't my city. It's LeBron's team. He's better. And number three is he's winning more. They're going to win like 57 games, 55 games. Houston right now would not host a first-round playoff series. So, and again, they've had injuries, but this is the way the NBA media will screw this up. Giannis is the closest to Paul George, but he can't affect the game late because he can't hit a three. And this game is a three-ball league. But Paul George, defense matters. You think it matters? Well, Paul George plays defense. So Harden can't compete with him on that end of the floor. Now, it's probably a 70-30 offense-to-defense league, but 30 is something. 30 is something. If I said 30% of the time, 30% of the time, you don't have any money after 2 weeks. So you literally 30% of the time need your check or you don't have any money to eat. That's a lot. 30% is something. Defense matters. It's not as big as offense, but it matters. And Paul George is the best available two-way player in the league. And I don't think he's going to get it, but I would give it to him. And people are into stats. That's what's happened to the most valuable player. That is what has happened to the most valuable player award. We forget the word valuable. We think it's the most stat guy. I like big picture guy. I like both ends guy. I like clutch guy. I like guy that wins more. And the fact that he has made a very rigid Russell Westbrook change his game is really impressive to me. Really impressive. First time in Russell Westbrook's career, it's almost like Russell knows it's his team. It's the other guy. And that's hard for Russell Westbrook because Russell Westbrook's always kind of done things his way. And when you take Russell Westbrook and Westbrook is acknowledging he should take the shots late, that's a real thing. So, Paul George, there you go, Oklahoma. I'll go back to bashing in about 20 minutes, but I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. That's not my job. I'll tell you what you need to hear and what I think is honest. Okay? Westbrook's not my cup of tea. Paul George, MVP.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
There's a lot of stories out here. God, I wish it was true. This is one of these stories. Lordy, lordy, I wish this was true. That Bill Belichick could be interested in getting and trading for Josh Rosen of the Arizona Cardinals. God, I wish that was true. For Josh Rosen's sake, for interesting sake, and frankly, for the Patriots' sake. They're my favorite dynasty in football of all time, along with the Dallas Cowboys, Troy Aikman, Jimmy Johnson dynasty. It's not true. And by the way, they've got all sorts of picks. So if they wanted Rosen, they could really make a deal with Arizona. They own the Bears' second-round pick. They have the Lions' third-round pick. They're going to get a couple of compensatory picks. They're going to have 12 picks. So they could really do it. They could move up. They could give Arizona all sorts of picks, blah, blah, blah. By the way, here's how the game works in the NFL. General managers in all sports, but let's just stick with football, are much less willing to dump their own draft picks because that's acknowledging I whiffed. So a new GM comes in, he'll clear the place out. He'll get rid of anybody. But a general manager drafts players, and he's going to give them more time if they're struggling. Because otherwise, it looked like he butchered the draft pick. So the problem with Arizona, Steve Keim, who I know, good guy, but he's in trouble in Arizona. He's been really bad with his first-round picks. Really bad. Last five, he got no hits. I mean, the DJ Humphreys, Hassan Reddick, you know, Jonathan Cooper has a lot of nothing. Has a lot of nothing. If he makes a trade and gets rid of Josh Rosen, he's acknowledging, yeah, I butchered last year's pick. I don't think that's going to happen. That would take a lot of courage, a lot of guts, and it would be telling your owner, yeah, I can't figure out even the first pick in the draft. Because the Rams got better players. The Niners got better players. I think Seattle's got better players. Arizona's got the fourth best player grouping in their division. In their division. Fourth out of four. So I don't think they're going to move off this. Here's the other thing to consider. Josh Rosen is not a bust, at least not yet. Their offensive line is horrible, and he's not a mobile guy. He took more hits than any quarterback in the league. Secondly, their head coach appeared to be over his head. Third, it's a tougher than average division. To me, Josh Rosen looks a lot like Jared Goff. He just needs a better offensive coach and more support. They got to get a left tackle. They got to get an emerging new receiver. They need, you know, they need to rebuild maybe tight end. But this is not just a Josh Rosen issue. And I want to remind everybody this. I just want to remind everybody this. Who were the last four quarterbacks left in the NFL this year? In the playoffs. Who were the last four? So let's go through them. Tom Brady didn't play his first year. Patrick Mahomes didn't really play his first year. Drew Brees didn't play his first year. Jared Goff mostly didn't play his first year, and when he went in, was awful. Josh Rosen, similarly, was forced to play on an awful team in a tough division with a head coach that was over his skis and an offensive coordinator late that had never been an offensive coordinator. For his sake, I'd love to see him traded. I'd love to see him go to the Patriots, sit down for a year, learn the smartest system in the NFL. This would be great for our show. It'd be great for Josh Rosen. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it'll happen for those reasons and because I don't think that he fits with the Patriots. I don't think his personality does.
Yeah, you don't like his personality fit.
No, I like his personality. I'm just saying I don't think he is a Patriot. I think he's an outspoken, political, very socially active, not reserved. Not that Tom Brady is a reserved guy, but Tom Brady is, I mean, he's a team guy. I don't call him a fall in line guy, but like
he suppresses opinion.
He is the general for Bill Belichick. He creates that. Yes, he definitely suppresses opinion and sets that tone for that team. I don't see Josh Rosen being that.
Yeah, the knock on Josh Rosen is, and there Phil Sims has always talked about that. Phil Sims said, I was smart, but I never wanted Parcells to think I was smarter than him, even though I thought I was.
Yeah, I don't think that Josh Rosen is of that.
Josh Rosen is not somebody, or do you have this when it comes to quarterbacks? Josh Rosen's really smart. But if Josh Rosen, like any smart person, works with somebody that's really, really smart, then they do become coachable. Like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was coachable initially, and then Aaron Rodgers believed that Mike McCarthy was not keeping up. They lost the quarterback coach who was the buffer.
Right.
And then Aaron was like, now I'm not coachable. Aaron, we didn't have a coachability problem with Aaron first 4 years in the league.
No, I think that's similar to what happened with LeBron James. And I'm not saying that Josh Rosen isn't coachable, but I just don't know if he's of the Patriot way. Like, I don't think his personality is
I don't think Josh is dysfunctional. I think everybody outside of really dysfunctional people are coachable. Like, I think T.O. was really hard to coach. I don't think Josh Rosen's that. I just think you have to get him the right guy so he'll listen. And I think the right guy would be Belichick. But I don't think anybody, you can't just throw anybody at Josh and Aaron Rodgers.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sometimes you have to take an L. You know, one of the reasons I stopped taking phone calls as a host, because callers didn't have any interest in getting it right. They just wanted to be right. And you're just arguing over dumb stuff. In my 20s, 30s, I was the same way. I just wanted to be right. After a while, you're like, I want to get it right. So there's no use to arguing with people who have no interest in being honest and getting it right. If I give you data, I'm right. If you give me data, you're right. Let's be honest about this. Okay? We've seen this in history. A lot of people thought, the world is flat. For a long time, people thought the world is flat. And then Aristotle broke the news on Twitter, and the world is round. Yeah, like Aristotle, smarter than all of us, said the world is round on Twitter. And then, by the way, Christopher Columbus retweeted it. Magellan liked it, and breaking news, Woj confirmed it. So the world is not flat, it's round. Take an L if you think the world is flat. Got retweets from Magellan, Galileo, Aristotle, Woj. Okay, the world is round. Parents do this all the time. Hey, my kid's a great athlete. And at some point you're like 14, 15. No, he's not. He's just a great kid. He's not a great athlete. Just take the L. It's actually a W. You got a great kid. You don't have a great athlete. It's okay. Boston Celtic fans, take an L. Kyrie Irving's not a great fit with Brad Stevens, and they're not firing Brad Stevens. He's not a great fit. He's injury prone. He's kind of a me guy, and it's a we system. I'm not sure he fits the city, but he doesn't fit the team. Here's the stats. They're all right there for you. When Kyrie Irving doesn't play, they win more, they score more, they shoot better, they pass more, and they hit more threes. The data's in. Take an L. It'll make you better. I'm not saying Kyrie Irving, 2 minutes to go in the game, he's a special guy. But you got to win in this league. You got to get to the last 2 minutes of games for him to hit the shot. They're not as good with him. And I think you have a coach, Brad Stevens, who worked at Butler, and works on spacing and passing and ball movement. And I don't think that's Kyrie's game. And you can keep arguing. You go ahead. Go to your message boards. But I said from day one, leave LeBron James at your own peril. And Kyrie Irving was hurt at Duke before LeBron and hurt and kind of a bust in Cleveland before LeBron and wasn't winning games. And then he got LeBron and won titles. And then he's too cool. And the world is flat. And didn't listen to Aristotle and Magellan and Galileo and Christopher Columbus and Woj. And the world's not flat and it's round. And by the way, you're not a leader. You're just a great basketball talent. And not all great basketball talents make teams better. Kobe, Carmelo are examples of that. Sometimes they did. Sometimes they didn't. I don't think he fits the system. The data is in. They're better without him. Speaking of arguments, people think I hate Russell Westbrook. No, he wears me out. I have said many times he's a great talent, but I don't think he's necessarily a winning basketball player. Although this year, shooting less, winning more, maybe he's changed. But one of the things athletes say, and this again is wanting to be right more than get it right. Athletes say they don't listen to the show. Oh, they hear the show. They go to shoot around. They go back to their room. And they just sit and watch TV and wait to go to the arena and take naps, have lunch. What do you think they do? Watching Jeopardy? Soap operas? Oh, they don't have those. by and large, they watch shows that talk about them, just like you would watch shows that talked about you. If there was a show right now in America, eight of them, that talked about you, you'd never turn them on, really? You get offended when somebody on Twitter says something to you. You wouldn't. You're on Twitter all day. You wouldn't watch a TV show talking about you? So yesterday, people were asking Russell Westbrook about all the criticism he gets and, you know, his shot is broken and blah, blah, blah. And here was his response.
Nah, I've been blessed with a title to not to give a f- he say, she say, what somebody say about me, what they say about shooting, passing, dribbling. I don't really care. Every year, something they got to make up something about me, which is fine. It's good. One thing I always know is if they're not talking about you, then you're not doing something right. I've been disengaging that conversation since started playing basketball when I was eight. As you guys know, I don't change for nobody, for nothing. I'll do the same thing every night.
That's completely false. Your game has changed this year. You're shooting less this year. Your game has changed. You did listen. You listen to people for years say you don't play winning basketball. And this year you changed. And by the way, your shot is totally broken. Why do you think it's broken? You think it's broken because you haven't changed or don't listen? It's broken because you heard people and it got into your head. Same thing with Markelle Fultz. It's psychological. It's mental. It's not physical. Just admit it. Stop trying to be wear this body armor. And I don't listen to anybody. And I'm strong. And it reminds me of T.O. who 5 minutes later is breaking down and crying. Or Dennis Rodman. If you're going to have this body armor and impenetrable and I'm not vulnerable, it's a con. You listen, you hear. If you don't watch, somebody else does. Somebody talks to you. I know because Westbrook's talked to people and he has criticized me and says I'm too personal. Well, how does he know that? He doesn't listen, right? He didn't listen to nobody. Yes, he does. He's human and he's vulnerable and stuff gets in his head and he wants to be liked and he wants to win games and that's okay. Just admit it. Take the L on that one. It's like Kyrie Irving. He's not perfect with the Celtics. Westbrook, you do listen. It does affect you. You want to be liked. Everybody does. Dogs want to be liked. When I run home every day, dog rushes up to me. Wants to be loved. Cats want to be loved. Dogs, people, everybody wants to be loved. Everything wants to be loved. Don't they say if you talk to plants, they grow faster? Plants want to be loved. Plants want to be discussed. Plants want to be in the... Plants sitting over in a corner the whole day. Hey, I'm over here. I'm a plant. You walk over to a plant, you talk to it. I'm not joking. They grow faster.
What an appropriate conversation for Valentine's Day.
That's a good call on that. Yeah, everybody wants to. For. It's okay, Russell. It's okay. You've been affected. You've heard it. You've listened.
You know, maybe he listened to, you know, like one of the player development coaches for OKC or like a previous mentor or something.
Here's Paul George, my MVP, after a game the other night, talking about what people say about Russ, which, of course, he never hears.
We got to stop with the narrator about Russ not doing well, Russ not having a good night. He's doing everything, you know. Russ is doing everything for this team. We just play hard. We rally behind Russ. Russ is a heck of a teammate, heck of a competitor. It's not going to be as nice sometimes offensively shooting the ball, but he does so much.
By the way, let me ask you this. If you're the MVP of a league and can't get out of the first round, would I be doing my job if I didn't raise questions? If LeBron James could not get out of the first round, wasn't everybody killing LeBron James for years because he couldn't get out of the second round? We're not doing our job if James Harden wins the MVP or Giannis and can't win two playoff series, Giannis is going to get heat. That's the name of the game. We're not doing our job. Nobody's being unfair to Russell Westbrook. I'm a little animated sometimes, but nobody's unfair. He's an MVP whose shot is broken, who is a terrible late game player, who can't get out of the first round, who's fighting with fans in Utah. That's not hypercritical. That's just observing what's happening and having an opinion.
This is my pushback with the MVP conversation in both NFL and the NFL and the NBA, though. It's a regular season award. So isn't it a little unfair to hold how a team does in the postseason against an MVP during a regular season?
If you are truly valuable and the most valuable player, you can't get whacked in the first round on a home series. All I'm saying is my argument, because I always argue during the season, not MVP, not MVP, not MVP. And then they lose in the first round. And I'm like, I told you, he's not that valuable. He's talented. He's not that valuable. If you're really, truly valuable and the most valuable person in a league, Patrick Mahomes, he got to the AFC Championship in overtime. He validated his value. He didn't have to get to a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes did not have to get. Patrick Mahomes got to the overtime against the reigning dynasty in the AFC Championship. That validated how valuable he is. If you can get to overtime against the Patriots, right. Steelers never get to overtime against
them. There was no shame in how
but you can't
Patrick
get
Mahomes
you can't get
went.
Dusted in the first round of the NBA playoffs. And by the way, you can't get past the fifth game, and you're freaking out with Utah fans and tell me how valuable you are. That's
maybe
not,
we should change the name of the award.
We could
to like best regular season performance award.
That's brilliant.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue like MVP, though.
It doesn't.
You can find something better.
That's the best Valentine's present at all. You gave us a new award. Say it again. What's it called?
Best Regular Season Performance Award. It's actually not that bad.
Okay, the BRSV. No, what did it say it again?
Performance. Best.
Yeah.
Regular.
Brr.
Season. Performance.
The Bourgeois. The Bourgeois Award.
I think we find something better for it. But I think that's really what it's become. It's kind of become that in the NFL, too. Because we have these conversations, and they get to the postseasons like, oh, you know, he didn't really deserve the MVP because they didn't win the Super Bowl or however things went for them in the playoffs.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Greg Jennings. So you can't just say stuff and just drop it in front of me like a huge, like, fresh peanut butter cookie and not want me to eat it. So Greg just dropped something in me, and he just like passing. It was like, duh, duh. Oh, yeah, I did this. I changed the world. Duh, duh, duh. So I said, you said to me during the break, you said, I would love to see Green Bay get Antonio Brown. And, you know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, God, Aaron Rodgers and Antonio Brown, the highlights would be outrageous. Mm-hmm. And then I said to you casually, oh, do you know Antonio? And you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, how good? And you're like, oh, I just talked to him for 2.5 hours the other day. You had lunch with him. You broke bread.
Yeah, we sat down. We talked.
Okay, is this supposed to be private?
I mean, I'm not one that just goes around just saying, oh, yeah, I sat down with AB, and I don't need to say that. I respect him enough to know how players like to be treated.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to try to put you in the crosshairs, but does he feel, what was the crux of his biggest, what was his biggest dilemma there? Why the frustration? Is there one thing?
Quarterback receiver relationship.
Wasn't great.
No.
Ben was less respectful.
And you know what? I'm not going to just say quarterback receiver relationship. Quarterback team relationship, leadership skills, what Ben did not do that's not talked about. And I think that's the challenging part from a receiving standpoint when you're in a position where it appears that everything looks great, everything is great between the dynamic of a quarterback and a receiver, but we all want that Tom Brady, Julian Edelman type relationship.
And he doesn't feel he had that.
No.
What? Why? Like when you say what Ben didn't do, is it call him? Is it extra practice? Is it?
It's just a lot of it is being accountable.
Ben wasn't accountable.
Being accountable for when you're wrong. And it doesn't have to be in the public eye. That's the thing that I think receivers get a bad rap. I don't care that you don't tell the media. But when we're in the meeting room, when we're in the locker room, and it matters what our teammates think and how we are as a team, a bond, a family, I need you to own it. I need to know that you're going to own it in front of the most important people, not in front of the cameras. Nobody cares about that because we all are going to say the right things. We all are going to make sure that unless we are just oblivious to team dynamics, we're not going to just say anything to ruffle feathers intentionally. But that's the gist of it, honestly.
He doesn't want to be a Steeler.
No, I mean, he asked for a trade. He doesn't want to be a Steeler. He loves Steeler Nation. Everything that they've provided him, he's grateful for it. He understands what it's done for his career, but he also understands that, look, I've done some pretty special things, and I still have a great work ethic, and I'm looked at to be this bad guy. And I'm not saying some of the decisions that he's made are decisions that I would condone, or I would say, you know what, great job, Antonio Brown. Absolutely not. He bears some blame here for sure. There's never all blame on one side, but I think in his, from his perspective, he's getting the bad end of the rap, and it's going to be that way because he's the one that's doing what's considered to be the wrong things or acting out.
Is there a place or two he would be more comfortable going? He's out here in California, right? So he
likes, of course,
he likes the warm weather. Can I throw two teams at you?
Absolutely.
I believe you have to have three or four things to make Antonio Brown work. One, you have to have a coach that's tolerant and capable of handling a big profile player. Adam Gase to me is way too tight. We saw that in Miami. You need a quarterback who throws a good.
Adam Gase is actually extremely loose. Like, he is one of the.
He moved out of Diamond Dominican Sioux. He wants guys out.
Yeah, but it was a cultural thing.
So you tell me he would go to the Jets? It seems like
I'm not saying he would, because when you're dealing with a guy that's like Antonio Brown, he wants to still, again, get his numbers. And
I don't. That doesn't drive me nuts. He wants receptions.
But he does want to win. He does want to win. And I think to the point I believe you were going to is like out here, you got Jimmy Garoppolo, who he believes in. But you have Kyle Shanahan that is a head coach that knows what he wants. He knows how to get players opportunities and catches and advance what they're doing to better the team.
Yeah, because the Niners have a couple of two receivers, Dante Pettis, Marquise Goodwin. They need a one.
Yes.
And by the way, they're bringing back Jarrett McKinnon, so who's a great pass-catching running
back.
And
you have a tight end that is...
Kittles is unbelievable.
Kittles is great.
He is a young... He's a healthier Gronk. He's not quite as big. He's faster.
Right, he's
but
faster.
But not as strong. No, you bring in Antonio Brown. Wow.
Who's the other team you were going to throw at me?
Well, the two... I didn't even take San Francisco.
Okay.
Because I worry about Shanahan can be... And like Mike, he's got a worldview. And if your worldview isn't his, I think the Eagles and the Rams, I think they're used to big names. They have good deep ball quarterbacks. They have incredibly tolerant, player-friendly coaches. They have a locker room. I mean, Michael Bennett goes to the Eagles, not an issue.
You know what? I never thought about the Eagles, honestly. I never thought
about
the Eagles.
And they need a perimeter go-to guy.
They do. I like even better than that. Honestly, probably my number one choice, if I were Antonio, but I would love to see him and Andrew Luck in Indianapolis.
Oh, I don't think they'd do that.
I don't think they would, but I would love to see that dynamic.
By the way, what do you make of Kyler Murray's agent called GMs that don't get his quarterback dinosaurs and losers?
Look, this is an agent that obviously doesn't get it. I don't see how you make this statement on top of the statement that your client just released to all NFL decision makers that I'm fully committed to football and I'm willing to prove to all decision makers that I am the franchise quarterback. Like, he just said, I'm willing to prove this to all decision makers. And then on top of that, my agent then comes out and says, these dinosaur decision makers basically in the NFL. You just made something worse for a client that he understands he's 5'9". He knows what he's getting into. But as a player, he also understands it only takes one team to like me. It only takes one team to buy in. Look at Baker Mayfield. The guy came from the same situation. Cleveland Brown, everyone else. Even Cleveland. We didn't know that he was going to end up going to Cleveland. We didn't know Cleveland was going to draft Baker Mayfield. At most people had Baker Mayfield third or fourth on their draft board out of quarterbacks. Not first, but Cleveland saw something that they were willing to take a chance on. And that fit what they were trying to do moving forward, and it works. That's all Kyler Murray needs. So for an agent to come out and say that, he doesn't make anything better by saying this.
Yeah, remember Drew Rosenhaus when he was young? And it worked. He was the first agent that was really hyper-aggressive. And his client base was guys like Warren Sapp had some controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, he was a controversial agent with a controversial set of players. It kind of worked. But, again, that wasn't quarterback.
Like, exactly.
I say this. when Kyler Murray goes on Dan Patrick and doesn't talk, if he's a wide receiver, I'm like, that's not great. If he's a quarterback, I'm like, whoa, that's not good at all. It's the most verbal position on the field.
It is. And by the way, like Kyler Murray, what he provides, I absolutely love him.
It's fun to watch.
Fun to watch. And we're all making it seem like, and don't get me wrong, the height issue, I don't think it's going to be an issue. Not in this National Football League where over 60% of the snaps are taken out of shotgun. Like, this isn't the dinosaur league where every snap is taken from under center. And it matters that I have vision and I can get separation from the defensive and offensive line to be able to throw over and see. I'm already in a shotgun. It has not affected him at the collegiate level. I don't believe it'll affect or impact his game and his style of play on this level. I don't.
Good stuff. I can't believe I had Lennox Lewis on earlier today. You have never been to a boxing match.
I've never.
It's the greatest thing ever. Have you been to one, Joy?
I don't think so, now that I think about it, no. Oh, I've been to a UFC match.
Okay, you've been to a UFC?
I haven't been to a UFC.
It's really good.
I know.
You take your
My
wife,
body,
you
man.
Wear a tux, she wears a sequin dress.
You do not have to wear a tux to a UFC
fight. Oh, a tuxedo t-shirt if you don't have one. Yeah. Everybody go. It's a big thing. A boxing match on a Saturday.
You actually, it's probably not smart to wear a tux because you might have to run, you know, because the fighters might jump over.
Well, that's, come on, let's be nice to the UFC.
Be quick.
All right, Greg Jennings, good seeing you.